Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast, Monday morning, January the 29th, 2024. And it is the fourth week after Epiphany. Just a couple of weeks till the Lenten season begins, Ash Wednesday, which is Valentine's Day this year, as it turns out. So we'll still be in these post-Epiphany weeks until we get to Lent. And then it'll switch over to the weeks of Lent. But so we're doing readings that correspond with that, this two-year cycle of readings. Last few days of January. Doesn't it feel like January is like 70 days long, though? I mean, Christy and I were talking about it yesterday, and I think part of it is it's 31 days, so it's a long month. It's 31 days. But it kind of feels like that last, like after Christmas, like December 26th, like that week 26th through the 31st of December also feels like January. So it almost feels like January starts on the 26th of December and goes all the way to January 31st. It just feels long. I mean, you think about, you know, you got New Year's Day, you've got Martin Luther King Jr. Day in there. It just seems long. Yeah, and that's true, Pastor Tim. This year's a leap year, so we get an extra day in February. 29 days this year. So, well, we're going to jump into the Word of God in just a second. The verses are Genesis chapter 19, Hebrews 11, and John 6. So in this middle part of Genesis, Hebrews 11, and John 6. Yeah. So glad you guys are on. Hope you had a great weekend. Monday morning, off and running. Here we go. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. All right, Genesis chapter 19, 1 through 17. Let's see what the Lord has to say today. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he said so strongly that they did not, but he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baked bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Good morning, everybody. Not every part of the Bible is a children's book, guys. Most of it isn't. Verse 6. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." "Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do, well, this isn't much better, right? You can do what you like with them, but don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. Wow. So the men of the city are wanting to have sex with these guests in Lot's house. And Lot decides the better option is to offer his daughters, which is no better. But anyway, get out of our way, they replied. This fellow came here as a, I have two daughters. Let me bring them out to you. Get out of our way, they replied. This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge. Man, you see the wickedness. I mean, Lot's got his own issues, right? I mean, clearly. But though you see the wickedness of these people, right? Like they're wanting to basically rape these men in their own wickedness and own perversion, and then Lot, who at least has a an ounce of moral conscience, is like, don't do this. And they're like, what are you, a judge? Doesn't that sound like our culture, though? Like, really? Like, our culture is like, someone raises the least little flag about, like, the sexual perversion in our culture, and it's like, oh, you're being a judge. Like, I'm just raising a caution here. So, and I'm just raising a objection, like, but that's just the sickening moral perversion and of human nature. And you see that it goes way back, man. This is not new. You know, sometimes we bemoan our American culture for good reason. But man, look at this. Look at this. Get out of our way. Look, this guy's playing the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against his people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." The evilness, the wickedness, the perversion was so bad that it was going to be destroyed. So they said, hey, if you've got family members, you better get them on board and get them out of this place, because it's going down. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy this city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. No, I'm not joking, man. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, you know, sometimes it's interesting, the slippery slope of sinfulness. And it's crazy how you can actually become attached to that culture of sin, even though you know it's wrong. He hesitated, right? He had become so accustomed to it that even in the light of a direct word from God, like, you've got to get out of here, this is wrong, this is sinful, yet he still hesitated. There are times, you know, we can be around things and situations and circumstances, and we know it's wrong. And yet the pull to stay around it or to stay indifferent is strong. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two children and led them safely out of the city. Computer just, there we go. For the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." Wow. Verse 24, skipping down to 24. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah, for the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation and the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. He told her not to look back. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to his place where he stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. It's one of those memorable and stories of the Bible, right? The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah for their just perversion, their sinfulness, their just unbridled sexual perversion and moral degradation. And Billy Graham famously said one time that if God didn't punish the United States, he would have to apologize to, he would probably have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a sober warning, right? Like if, I mean, there's none of, all of that's in Sodom and Gomorrah is very alive and well in our world today. Unfortunately, and will probably always be so until the Lord returns. But God mercifully saved Lot on behalf of Abraham, because Abraham was the one righteous person in the area, and on his behalf, he offered his family salvation. A way of rescue. Hebrews. Let's jump over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 12. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. We're jumping in the deep end this morning, right? Just right into the deep end. Right into the burning sulfur. Right off the bat. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 12. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is visible was not made out of what was visible. What is seen is not made out of what was visible. He made everything out of nothing. Verse 4, by faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain. We read about that. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken up from this life so that he did not experience death. he could not be found because God had taken him away. He was just gone. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who was pleased by, who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So you can't please God without faith. Why? Because faith believes that God exists. Trust. And if you don't trust that God exists, if you don't trust that God exists, you're not going to come to him. It's impossible to come to a God that you don't believe exists. So you got to believe he exists. And by believing he exists, you'll come to him. And then the result of that is God will reward those who diligently or earnestly seek him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him on the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. I like that phrase, right? And she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Who made the promise? The Lord. God did. So she considered him faithful. So when God makes a promise, I can trust that. I can lean into that because I consider the one who made the promise faithful. Verse 12. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Wow. Speaking of Abraham, right? This man good is dead. His old man could not have, had no descendant, had no heir with Sarah. And God made a promise to him that he would, his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky. And it seemed silly, it seemed crazy when it was first made. But the one who made the promise is faithful. And both Sarah and Abraham trusted the promise maker that he was a promise keeper. And indeed, he did keep his promise. And Abraham became what God said he would become, father of many nations. Yeah. That parallel of faith, right, goes right along with the Lot story. The leaving the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, it required faith. It required faith when they said, when the warning to leave, to get out, it took faith that I got to trust they're telling me the truth and that judgment is really coming, that this is in, God kept his word on that. The gospel is John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 27 through 40. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are up and on and spending some time in the Word of God today. 27 through 40. It's an interesting place to start that reading. But that's what it says, John 6, 27 through 40. It's kind of the middle of a thing. All right, here we go. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Okay, so don't labor for strictly material things that pass away. You think about Sodom and Gomorrah, it was a material city. It didn't last. Don't labor for material things or the things of this world. Make sure you're looking for the food that endures, which is the Son of Man. Verse 28. Yeah, for sure. Linda, I believe. I agree. Belief is definitely a theme in this. Verse 28. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" I love this section of scripture. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe." So what do we have to do to work? Well, you don't actually work. The work you have to do is to believe. And what? Believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you?" So now they're going back to signs. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. It's going back to trust. You got to trust. You got to trust. What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." He's obviously referring to himself. He came down from heaven from the Father. He is the bread of life that gives food, that gives sustenance to the entire world. Verse 34, "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." That's what we want. Verse 35, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Like we said before, Jesus preached Jesus, man. That was always the punchline. The punchline was always Jesus. He taught a lot of things, but it always led back to himself, that he was life. He was the source of life. He was the source of eternal life. And here he's, you know, they're talking food, and he begins talking their language, but with some deep spiritual overtones or undertones, whatever you want to call it. But it is eventually leading them to what? Away from physical food to himself. He is the true bread of life. He is what gives life to the entire world. Anyone who takes of him will never hunger again. Verse 36, "But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." That's good news, right? God will never drive away those who come to him. That's good news, man. "For I have come down from heaven." Now, if there was any question about whether he was talking about himself when he said, you know, the manna that the children of Israel ate in the wilderness, Moses didn't give them that. God gave them that. Moses was their leader, but God was their provider, right? Moses was their human leader, but God was their ultimate provider. And so he said, and now, if there was any question about, you know, the true bread that comes down from heaven, clearly, he's saying it's him, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me." Love it. "Won't lose any of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Praise God. So if you know Jesus, then you can rest assured, you can be fully confident that he who began the good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's not going to, you're not going to slip out of his hand. "I shall not lose any of those God has given me. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Praise God. Not only does he lift us up here as soon as we meet him and encounter his grace and mercy, but on the last day, we'll be raised to eternal life. That's awesome. Praise God. All right, you guys, let's pray. Thank you for being on today. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for this reminder of the power of trust and believing in you, that we have to believe that you exist. And when we trust and believe and come to you, you tell us in your word that you reward those who earnestly seek you. So God, we thank you. We seek first of all your face, God, nothing more than just your face, because you are sufficient. You are the bread of life. You provide exactly and all that we need. So God, we open up our hearts to you in hope and trust. We pray that you would walk with us. Help us to keep our ears attuned to your word and to your way. God, and when you say go, may we go. And when you say stop, may we stop. When you say leave, may we leave. Lord, help us to have eyes to see, spiritual eyes, to discern wickedness. Lord, because we can be around it and in the environments of it so much that we become immune to it, that we become desensitized. God, we need your Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit in us to help us to see clearly and discern darkness from light. Lord, thank you for my friends. May you bless each and every person today. May you encourage them and strengthen them and bless them real good in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on today. Thank you for spending some time in the Word of God. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, as we continue our readings through the Old Testament, the Epistles, and the Gospels. You guys are awesome. Love you guys. Thanks so much for taking some time to be together. Thank you for liking, subscribing, and sharing this podcast. You can smash the like button before you leave. You can subscribe to the channel. That way you're notified every time new episodes are on. So you guys are awesome. Thanks so much for being on. We'll see you guys next time. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.